Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, April 12th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Leslie Courts. Leslie and her husband Chris and their two boys are members of Mountain Brook Baptist. She and her husband help out with the youth group on Sunday mornings in Sunday school, and she has a lot to share with us today. I can't wait for you to hear about her life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, Leslie, read the scripture for us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here. Our first reading is John 5, 1 through 15, and I am reading from the New King James Version. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Our next reading is Proverbs 10, 17 through 32. "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse.
Thank you so much, Leslie, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. I want to hear a little bit about your family. Tell me about them and tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
I grew up in a small town. It's about 45 minutes from here. It's Vinson, Alabama. Very small, very sweet upbringing. Actually, a lot of connections in my home church to this church. Lindy Martin was my minister growing up. He married my parents. He introduced my parents. John Lee Taylor was my minister when I was in college. He dedicated my children.
Oh, wow. I did not realize all of this connection.
So many connections to this church, to the one where my parents are still members. So it's just a lot. It's a really sweet It's a sweet connection.
And so then did you move away for college or did you stay there?
I went to Alabama and then I moved after graduating from Alabama. I moved to Birmingham and about 10 years after that, I went back to Sanford to get my master's.
Okay. And where along the way did you meet your husband?
We met on a blind date in our mid-30s.
No way. Okay, I got to hear the story.
It's not too exciting.
I still want to hear it.
A girl that I met in college that I was friends with, worked with him at NBC. And she said she had a dream that we got married and that we should meet.
And was it love at first sight?
For him. Oh. No, kidding. We were married 9 months later.
9 months later. Yeah. Okay, and tell me about your boys.
I have twin boys, Conwell and Thomas. They're 14. They're eighth graders at Mountain Brook Junior High. Very different children. They are named after their grandfathers. Conwell is named after my father, and he was very much and is very much my father. He's just very secure and confident, friend-centered. And then Thomas is very much, he's named after my father-in-law, Thomas Quartz. And he is very much like my husband. He's fun. He's got a great spirit. They're just super different. They follow their names.
I want to hear a little bit more about kind of your personality. What are you into?
Well, I'm into my kids. I enjoy them. I enjoy their friendships. I enjoy where we are with them in life and where they are growing and how they relate to their friends. I enjoy this age. I like the teenage years. I've had a really good time just watching them grow.
As it relates to media, do you like podcasts or movies, or are you into reading books?
I'm not a movie person. I can't sit still that long. I love series. I love podcasts. I love books when I'm at the beach and I can sit there and enjoy them. At home, I would fall asleep if I tried to read.
Tell me a couple of podcasts that you follow.
I love Kate Bowler. I love her work. I love her books. I love her podcast. I love Molly Sims has a great podcast. It's on beauty and skincare. I think that's fantastic. Those are the ones that I'm always drawn to.
Speaking of Molly Sims, I think this has to do a little bit about your career as well. She being a makeup artist. Tell me about your career, how you got your start, and maybe what you love about it.
I'd worked at HealthSouth for about 10 years. I was in college and then out of college, I worked for HealthSouth. And things didn't go so well there. And so I was about 28, 29, and I went back to Sanford to get my MBA. While I was there, I realized I should get a job while I'm in school. And I just decided, I went to Saks and I began working at the Bobby Brown counter. And with that, I happened to meet my business partner of 23 years. And she and I began to travel with Bobby Brown. And years later, we have our own business. And we do weddings, we do events, we do shoots. It's really been the greatest blessing that I truly never saw coming, that the Lord really does have your future in mind, even in the little pieces, when you have no idea what you're doing.
What is one of the aspects of your job that is so meaningful?
Meeting the people and the relationships. We usually start with, we do young girls for events, and then one day we'll do their wedding, and it's just the relationship that I form with their parents, with them, with their friends. It really is just the greatest thing I never, ever thought of. I just assumed that I would be in marketing and sports medicine.
Leslie, would you share a little bit about your faith in Christ?
My faith is not dramatic. It's how I was brought up. My family was always in the church. We were Baptist. We were there, Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I would say that my relationship with Christ was more developed probably in my late 20s, an actual friendship. That's probably something I didn't have when I was younger.
Was there someone who mentored you, or how did that come about?
The friendship, I have so many people that probably have mentored me. Mary Glenn Peoples is one. I've done her Bible study for years, and she truly has shown me how that he's your friend. He's your best friend. He's your buddy. You can talk to him. You can get mad at him. And he understands, and I've learned that from her. My dad was very much like that. And I have a really great friend group. And we all have that same thought and those same beliefs.
Has there been a time when you could feel the presence of the Lord or it was so tangible to you?
In 2004, out of nowhere, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was just random and scary. And they really didn't know much about what my diagnosis was, what the prognosis was. It was out of nowhere. And I remember I was scared. I was 29 years old. I was single. And I remember I was in an MRI machine. And I know that my church in Vincent had a prayer service for me that morning while I was having the MRI. And I could feel the Lord in the room. Mm. And that was not that I haven't felt the Lord, but I felt him. And I didn't know they were praying at the time. I didn't know anything about that. Mm. I found out later.
Leslie, I don't know your story of your battle with cancer. Would you share more about that experience?
I had an earache for about a year when I was 28, 29 years old. And I kept going to specialists and everyone just said it was an earache. And they would send me away with a steroid and some pain medicine. And finally, it just became unbearable. And I went to my dentist here in town. And Jerry Reasoner looked at it and immediately knew what it was. It wasn't related to anything that I had done and we didn't really know what it was. But I immediately went to have a biopsy and testing done. And it had been there for probably over a year. I was planning to go to the Mayo Clinic for surgery and treatment, but my father was an attorney for UAB, and a doctor reached out to him and said that he would like to see me. So I stayed in town and had surgery, and they removed the tongue and the lymph nodes in my neck, and that was it.
Did I hear you correctly that they took your tongue?
They did. They removed over half, but it grows back.
I did not know that. It regenerates. I should have known that because I bit my tongue when I was three. I mean, all the way through, and it grew back.
I did have to learn how to, like, speak, like, speech.
So you went through speech therapy?
I did, yes.
And how long total was your treatment? And are you considered in remission now, or how does that
work?
I'm
in remission. It's been, this year will be, it's 19 years.
In the midst of this, you said you definitely felt the Lord
Yes. In
the CT scan. But tell me other ways where you saw the body of Christ or Christ himself at work.
Well, just at the time, I was single. I wasn't married. My family, you know, I watched every member of my family stop everything they were doing. Aunts, uncles. We had just lost my grandmother. It was just a hard time in general. And they were there all the time. I mean, and I was in the hospital for a long time and I really couldn't take care of myself. And my friends, it was amazing to watch, you know. I'm forever indebted to them.
I know that you and Chris help out with Youth Sunday School. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Sunday School is neat. It really is great. We serve the junior high and high school, but I would say mostly we are serving the junior high boys. We all gather together, 7 through 12. Joel gives a big lesson, and then we break off into groups, and we talk about the lesson, and we go through the scripture. And typically, Chris and I, we get the 14-year-old boys.
Is it the same group of boys every week?
It is usually the same group. It's not supposed to be, but it just is.
They gravitate towards you.
I think they're comfortable because they gravitate toward each other, and our kids gravitate toward us, even though they wish we weren't there, probably. It really is sweet. We have such a sweet group of boys. And when you hear them talk about scripture, especially when they're not yours, and you hear these children talk about the scripture, and when they pray, they really are mature, and just the church should really be able to watch Sunday School. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and I love that you have relationships with all of these boys. And, you know, outside of Sunday School, you can also see them in the community and they know that you have their back.
It is a great group of boys. It really is. The table is great. There's always good discussion. They're funny. They're so sweet to each other.
How did you get involved with this Sunday school?
Joel asked if Chris and I would teach.
You never know when someone asks. Sometimes it's not necessarily that you feel some great gifting in an area. It's just like there is a need and we need your help.
And I am not a gifted teacher, but I do love, I have a heart for the age group. Mm-hmm. And I have now have a real heart for these kids. And I'm so glad that I've gotten to know them. It's really been great.
In today's readings, was there anything that stuck out to you or anything that you might make comments about?
I've always loved the scripture when Jesus tells the man with the mat who's been sick for a long time to get up. You get up. We are required to get up. The Lord will always have our back. He will always take care of us, but it does require us to move. Get up and move. My dad always told me that. You've got to get up. And it's just words to live by.
Speaking of your dad, I know that recently he went to be with the Lord. I want to hear a little bit about the things that you're learning in the midst of grief.
Well, I'm still here. Losing my father was always what I thought and still believe to be, aside from losing children. It is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. Since I was a child, like losing my dad was my greatest fear. But losing him, honestly, in some ways, I think he's closer to me. I miss him. I just miss our conversations. He was my best friend. So that has been hard. But when you see someone suffer, and I know where he is now, I have such a belief. Not that I never questioned heaven, but I can feel it now. And I know he's there, and I know he's okay. And I'm just more sure of that than I ever have been, that that is a real place and that we are going there if you believe in Christ.
Amen. Are there some ways that you would advise us if we're helping or trying to be a comfort to a friend, things to say, things not to say, et cetera?
Well, I've learned a lot of things. You know, I don't think you ever really understand grief until it happens to you. My dad in his notebook, and I don't know when he wrote this, but in his date book, he had written, "All master grief but those that have it." Mm-hmm. And I don't know when he wrote it. I don't know if he wrote it when he got sick or I don't know, but I think about that a lot. But I have learned from my friends, those that had grieved before who had lost parents or brothers, how they've showed up for me, and they just show up. They were just there with food or their presence. Or just help, you just show up. Don't ask, just go do it. And that's what I have learned, is that truly is where I've seen Jesus, and the body of Christ is in my friends and just their faithfulness.
Do you have a favorite passage of scripture or kind of a guiding scripture?
I do. I love Philippians 4. I've always struggled with worry and anxiety, so this is what I love. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and to the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Leslie, it has been such a pleasure to be with you today, to hear you read and talking about meaningful things. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I would. Lord, thank you so much for our time today. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for what it means to me and to my family. Lord, I thank you for the leadership in this church. I'm thankful for this community and all that it offers to our families. Lord, be with those that need healing, be with those that need guidance. And Jesus, just watch over us and protect us and help us to do your will. And do it in your name and your honor. Amen.